Hello, hello. So today I got to interview the lovely Stephanie Corneel. Stephanie, originally from the Netherlands, is currently living in Cyprus after about 7 or so years in Australia. And Stephanie has a lot of tools that she works with. She's a coach, she's an energy healer, she's a female embodiment mentor, and she basically works with women who feel stuck in their heads and move back into their flow and ease and more the feminine energy rather than masculine energy. And she's also a Cambo practitioner, which was, I've heard of Cambo, not really looked into it, and weirdly was looking at a Cambo website this morning before I did the interview with her. So Cambo is a plant medicine, and it's a very healing medicine as well. And so, yeah, so we just had a great conversation about the work she's doing, the great work she's doing in terms of trauma and healing and her own trauma that she suffered as a child, you know, what took her to Australia, what took her to Cyprus, and now what's going to take her to Portugal, which is the next move she's going to make with a man she's madly in love with and who's on the same journey as her. So I'm excited to see what Stephanie does. She's a fantastic guest, very intelligent, articulate, right up my street in terms of the energy work and the way she sees the world and all the bullshit that's been going on in the world. So yes, sit back and enjoy. Well, hello, lovely listeners. Today I have the honour of speaking with the lovely Stephanie Corneel. Did I get that right?
Yes.
Ish. Stephanie is originally from the Netherlands. She's currently living in Cyprus, but you were in Australia for a few years as well. Yeah. And Stephanie is a lady after my own heart. She's very much into energy, plant medicine, really understanding female embodiment, you know, in terms of you work as an embodiment mentor and you empower women who are stuck in their heads, move back into flow and ease. And that is like so important, you know, and has been for a long time, but even more so now, you know, because women, I think, have been so disconnected with who they, you know, the feminine. We've had to do it all, haven't we? And we've kind of lost sight of who we actually are, right? I think, anyway, is my opinion. And you've done a lot with plant medicines, and also you're a Cambo practitioner, as I was just saying to you. I was literally looking at a Cambo website this morning, because I've heard of it. I've done plant medicine. I've done ayahuasca once, I don't fully understand it. So I'm intrigued to hear more about the healing properties of Cambo as well. And lots more, Stephanie. So I'm as always, welcome. Thank you so much for being here, because it was at short notice. Fair play to you.
Yeah.
And I love our listeners, to really understand where you've come from, you know, a bit of your backstory and how you've got to where you've got to today. So over to you, my love. Can I just ask, the Chava Wild Roots, where did that come from? That's her screen name at the moment.
yeah. So Chava Wild Roots, Wild Roots is because I feel so connected to nature, but I'm also a wild and free spirit. And Chava in Hebrew means mother of all.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. So yeah, first of all, thank you so much for having me. And yeah, short notice, but I love these like spontaneous chats, and I had a gap. So I was like, okay, why not? Perfect. A little bit about my journey. So yeah, I grew up in Amsterdam in the Netherlands, and I had a turbulent childhood, I would say, with an addictive dad, a dad that was addicted, and lots of abuse and like very unhealthy dynamics within the relationship between my parents. And so I did a lot of group therapy and a lot of normal therapy, and you know, as you do, like I worked really hard to be where I was at age of 27 at the time. So I had a car, a motorcycle, a cat, a house, a really steady job. I worked as a graphic designer at the time. And I had all those things. And your podcast is Never Settle for Less. So I really want to speak into that, because then at age 27, I asked myself, I'm like, okay, I have everything that I thought that I needed to do in order for me to be happy, but I'm not. And is this really going to be my life for the rest of my life, where I do this 9-to-5 job at 9-to-5, it was longer hours because we had lots of deadlines, where I worked my butt off basically Monday to Friday, but never really had the time to enjoy myself and wasn't really, you know, attracting the right partner either. So I was like, okay, this is not something that I can see myself doing. And if I don't want to settle for this, right? So then I decided to just pack up, sell everything that I had, quit my job, even though everyone said to me, you are crazy for quitting your job. I quit my job, packed up, sold everything. I got someone to look after my cat initially, and I left to go to Australia with my backpack at age 27. And it was such a freeing feeling for me. And that sort of, I think, really transpired my whole sort of self-discovery journey, because I did so much work already around, you know, my traumas from when I was younger and everything that I went through. But I still needed to discover who I was beneath all the layers of conditioning and belief systems and limitations. And so I went to Australia, and I got to be me without anyone knowing me, and I got to rediscover myself, which is amazing. And so fasting forward, have lived in Australia by that time, probably, I think, 3.5 years, way more interested in spirituality because I grew up an atheist. So we never had a religion or anything. So everything was very new for me. So I got to discover all these different things. And so at some point, I'm just going to speak into how I came across plant medicine, because at the time I had a really bad staph infection. And staph infection is something that you get from the hospital, by the way, and it creates these massive boils on your body, and it's really super painful. And I did everything that I could. So I did antibiotics, topical creams, like all these different things. And I just couldn't find anything that would help me, and really bad scarring and stuff like that afterwards. And that's when I found Kembo, and I'm like, okay, well, this is something that is quite unfamiliar territory for me, but I'm very interested and I feel very connected to nature. I would love to look into something that is alternative. So I did my very first Kembo ceremony, which is an intense journey, because I had a major headache afterwards because I had lots of candida in my system, and that can sometimes happen. And after I did my first Kembo ceremony, my staph infection fully disappeared, and it's never been back since. And that's when I was like, wow, okay, like this is so unknown, but this is the profound effect that it has. And I felt super clear in my head, and I felt that I had a sense of direction afterwards. And this is when I sort of started falling in love with plant medicine and what it can actually do.
Can I ask? So there's a couple of things. One, you said about going to Australia to discover yourself, and that's something that we hear a lot of. I've gone to find myself and all the rest of it. And because you were brought up an atheist, I know you obviously had a lot of trauma in your childhood. And what can happen is when people basically up sticks and go to a completely different country or a different city or whatever it is, it's generally because they're running away from where they're at. They want to go and find themselves. But if they haven't done any sort of great depth of personal growth or spiritual growth at that point, you can very often create what you had where you were, you know, because you're basically escaping your environment without changing who you are. So how did you get from being an atheist, obviously going to a completely different country, to be yourself or to feel like you're being more yourself, to then getting into the spirituality, to be able to have that growth? And how did you figure out that Kembo was going to help you when, you know, Western medicine or traditional medicine wasn't?
Yeah, so I actually by accident sort of came across it. I went to a gathering somewhere, and then I heard someone talk about, oh yeah, it's like grinding glass in your eyeballs. And I was like, what is this conversation about? What is this? And then I sort of like tuned into the conversation. Then I heard for the first time that they were talking about Kembo. And I'm like, oh, what is that? Oh, it's like a frog secretion and yada, yada. And that's when I started to do a little bit more research. And then I moved to the Gold Coast at the time. Yeah, I've moved to the Gold Coast at the time. And I Googled it, and there was a girl there that was serving Kembo. And so I was like, you know what? I'm just going to give it a try. I've never tried anything like this alternative. And I'm just going to give it a try. And that's, I think, really what sort of kickstarted. It didn't kickstart because I did multiple Vipassanas already before, where you sit in meditation for like 10 days. And initially, I definitely think that I was running away from, you know, everything that I knew in the Netherlands. And I just really wanted to discover who I am. And I was definitely running away. And I had to really go on a big journey of not only self-discovering, but truly remembering who I was. And with that came a lot of forgiveness and a lot of understanding and a lot of healing. And Now I still don't live at home because I don't really resonate with the Netherlands, but I've been back a few times. And the last time that I went back, for example, was so beautiful and so amazing. And it's, I can really truly see now why everything happened the way it did, right? Like I can now, I just did another podcast interview this morning and we were speaking about how important forgiveness is. And years ago, I wrote a massive letter to both of my parents about freeing them from guilt and just the gratitude that I feel for all the amazing lessons that I've learned so far, as I'm also working now with my clients, like you're also a coach, I can see. And oftentimes I feel like being a mentor, which I identify as a mentor, is all the experiences that I've been through myself, I can then teach other people on how to navigate these things with the right tools. So I'm so grateful that I went through all of it. And it took me a long time to see like, oh, okay, I've gone from running away to fully integrating everything that happened to now being super happy and super grateful when I am home and I see everyone again. And I get to be myself and be fully accepted in who I am rather than trying to fit in a box that they see me in. In the past, they would see me in the box and they would be in their box and I would be in my box and it would just be like that. And so the first time that I went back after traveling for such a long time, I really clashed with so many people actually, because I had changed so much and I moved outside of this comfort or outside of this box that they had put me in and I had put myself in. And all of a sudden I no longer was fitting in that box because I had a complete different perception on what life was about, right? Especially when you do ayahuasca, it's such a mind-altering experience and it's such a different way of looking at life where you can take full accountability and self-responsibility for everything that you're creating in your reality. So that clashed massively in the beginning, but now I'm at a point now where I truly believe your internal reality reflects your external reality. So if you can truly accept yourself entirely for who you are, you will be met in that in your external reality as well, where people will also accept you.
Okay, thank you for that. Another two things. One is, I think we need to explain what Cambo is for the audience, for people that don't know. But the other thing is, and this is something that I'm intrigued with, in terms of the abuse that you had as a child, and you talk about, yeah, it took you time to get there in terms of the forgiveness, but being really grateful for those experiences. How... it's really hard for somebody to understand if somebody's put you through that, especially parents who are supposed to love and protect, how you were able to get to a place of gratitude. Forgiveness is one thing, but being grateful. I know that life happens for us, and I'm a big advocate of that. And I know that I've just been through some shit myself, and I know I know that's shown up for my own healing. So I get all of that. I don't think I've got to a place like you have where there's gratitude and I could be very grateful to that person or even at the moment forgive that person. So I'm intrigued to know how you were able to get to that place.
Yeah, I think that the first thing was for me to realize that I chose everything coming into this life, right? So stepping into this life, I chose everything. I chose my parents. I chose the lessons that I wanted to learn. And looking back at that now, like the whole journey that I've been on since then, discovering myself in my sexuality and uncovering all these deeper layers of what it's like. Like I've been exploring Tantra for a little while now, and I would have never gone there if I didn't experience what I've experienced. And now I'm like, whoa, there's a whole world out there of meaningful connections and about vulnerability and truly what does surrendering truly mean? And I really am grateful because I would have never gotten there if I didn't have that experience in the first place, because it set off this, again, self-discovery journey of like, whoa, like, you know, it's not talked about often. And I think a lot of women actually experience abuse, if not abuse, assault or anything like this. And, you know, even smaller things that can happen to us can have a gigantic impact on us later in life. And when it comes to, you know, not feeling safe, for example, I think that's a massive one. Like, I think in our bodies, we have, you know, we store these emotions and we store these memories in the body. So if the body remembers not feeling safe when we were younger, no matter what has happened, it is so difficult to start feeling safe in your adult life. And for me, that was sort of the the drive behind why I went on this whole journey of like, hey, what does safety mean? What does surrendering mean? And I would have never gone on this journey if I didn't experience that. And again, now I get to share this knowledge with other people, which is ultimately what I think is my purpose here, you know?
Yeah. Okay, cool. Thank you. Yeah, then that all makes perfect sense. And yeah, on a personal note, I know that that's where I'm going. I just haven't got where you got to yet. And what is Cambo for people that have never heard of it?
Yeah. So Cambo is a beautiful frog medicine from the Amazon. So these frogs live about 200 or 300 meters up in the trees. And they call them down with a special call. They collect the secretion off their backs. And in this secretion, what science has now found is there are 16 different peptides. And all these different peptides like create a beautiful reaction in the body where it's speaking to the neuroreceptors and our normal cell receptors, and everything opens really beautifully for Cambo. So basically Cambo is describable as a natural antibiotic on steroids that basically just amps your own immune systems to start doing some extra work to remove viruses and bacteria and candida and things like this. So one of the families that has found in these peptides, for example, is dermaseptin. And dermaseptin is proven to actively fight cancer, for example. So what Cambo does is as soon as you sit in a ceremony, so it's, you know, it enters your lymphatic system, these different peptides start to kick in. And basically Cambo scans the body to see what needs to be removed, what needs to be purged out. And so Cambo is quite a physical process. It's definitely not a psychedelic. You are very aware, you're very here, but it really allows for the body to purge whatever you need to purge. And that can go by going through the toilet, but usually people actually vomit. And it's an uncomfortable process, I would say. It's not too long though, so it's actually quite doable. It's not like a full length ayahuasca journey, but it's a really powerful process that really just, cleanses you out. And not only on a physical level, but also an emotional level, because it is said that Cambo also clears panema, which is like a negative stagnant energy that we carry with us. So it's actually such a beautiful medicine from the Amazon. And I'm very privileged to be working with it, because I think it can help so many people. And we just have to be careful that it's not misused and abused, because that's something that we do see in the plant medicine world, I think, where there's not a lot of respect anymore, you know? So it's, I feel with plant medicine, it's definitely something that either it calls you and you feel the call to do it and it comes to you, or you just don't resonate with it. And that is totally fine too. I don't think it's something that anyone should try or do. Like if you don't resonate with it, then it's just not for you.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Yeah, I'm doing something which it's not plant medicine. It's called informational supplements. And so basically me and my son are both doing it. And there's a device that can tell you where the toxins are in, you know, what toxins you've got. And then these informational supplements, and it's basically changing the information within us so your body can naturally purge the toxins.
Wow.
So we're right at the beginning of that. But it sounds similar in terms of what Cambo does, right? It does sound similar, but a bit more scientific, obviously. Okay, so you left the Netherlands, you went to Australia, you had a healing journey, and then you were a graphic designer. So what happened then in terms of like, and you said you weren't happy, you knew it, you weren't living your purpose. So how did you go from there to where you are now?
Yeah, so when I did my first ever Cambo ceremony, I was so incredibly impressed by how it actually worked that I started to do a lot more research. And then I decided that I also wanted to do a course, or like being a practitioner. And at the time, I actually started assisting with lots of ceremonies. So every weekend, I was assisting in these ceremonies and holding space. And I was like, wow, like this is something that I really love doing. And I think I'm really good at it too. And, you know, ever since I've been younger, I've always been the go-to person, you know. So people always would come to me with their problems and the things that they needed to resolve. And I was always there to just give advice. And obviously, because of my own experience, So when I started doing Kenbo ceremonies at some point, I also started to realize like, oh, wow, like I can actually assist these people further outside of the ceremony as well. And that's why I studied NLP, hypnosis, emotional change technique, to just, you know, have a bit more tools in my toolkit to really help people move through certain things. And I think that's sort of where I was like, because for a very long time, I was like, what is my purpose? Like, I know that I want to help people, but I just don't know how. And I think a lot of people might resonate with this as well. And I think, you know, you just take one step at a time and the next step will reveal itself. And I think ultimately we all have the same purpose, which is just being our happiest self. And it doesn't really matter what that looks like. The more happy you are within your own life, the more of an effect it has on the people around you, right? So I think ultimately for me, stepping into this role now of being a mentor and really helping people move through that deeper trauma is because I've been there myself. And I've traveled the road, and I can help people move through that by giving them the right tools and really deep diving into what happened in those memories in your brain when you were younger and those traumatic experiences were installed, because everything comes back to our belief system, because we create our own reality. Our internal reality reflects our external reality. And the more you understand this concept, the more you understand how important it actually is to do the inner work, because it truly changes your perception on life.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And so, okay, so you started to do all these tools, and then what you're doing now, so if somebody was listening, and is it specifically women you work with?
Yes, I also do work with men, but I do resonate more with women, and that's more so because I can relate more to them when it comes to trauma and sexual abuse and things like this.
Yeah. And so if anybody's listening that is resonating with what you've been saying, what sort of work do you do? You know, what sort of women are you helping? Give us a scenario maybe of how you can basically take somebody to a healing journey.
Yeah. So what I see often with my clients is that they're quite anxious and they're very much in their minds. And it doesn't really matter what sort of walk of life they come from, because a trauma or an installment doesn't have to be massive, right? It can be something very small, but it can have substantial consequences later on in life. So it's like more so women that are very much in their heads. They really overthink a lot of situations. They lack self-belief. They lack, you know, stepping into their purpose. And when I start working with them, what I find often is that they're really outside of their bodies. And when you're outside of your body and you overthink a lot, it's really difficult to get your nervous system into a rest and digest, because you're constantly in this activated fight flight mode. And what I really help them do is come back into their bodies, not only by doing embodiment practices, but also by clearing out the lower, denser frequency energies that they carry, such as anger, sadness, fear, grief, guilt, to really move through that. So it's a whole journey of unpacking what are those installed beliefs and when were they installed? When was the first time you experienced major anger? When was the first time you experienced fear? And rewiring those neurological pathways by removing the anchors. And so when you do that, someone becomes a lot lighter and elevates sort of in their frequency, which means that, again, internal reality reflects back in your external reality. So when they start to feel more happy in their life, and we tackle beliefs like not good enough and self-belief and all these things, all of a sudden their external reality starts to change. And so I also believe that when you come back into your body a lot more than you have before, because it's finally safe, because there's new strategies in place and new coping mechanisms, you can also tune into your heart. And when you can tune into your heart, you can truly live life from a heart-filled and a heart-led base. You can tune into your soul's purpose, is what I believe. I truly think that the heart is the true connection or the portal into our soul. And we all come here with a dharma. I'm also a yoga teacher, so I love this whole philosophy and like how the body works and where does it store the emotion in the body. And it's a big blend of body, mind, spirit. Like, I think a holistic view on this is actually really important, because you can do all the work on your mind, but your body still keeps the score and still has this memory. So you need to really have a holistic view on like, hey, okay, let's look at your soul's purpose and let's look at why did you choose all these lessons? Let's put you in the driver's seat of your life, no longer in the passenger seat, because you are the creator of your own reality. So it's really a holistic view what I have with my clients, and I take them on 8-week journeys, and it's a beautiful transformation to see, for them to also see their own power and to truly remember, because I love the word remembering, because innately we already know this. we're just moving and sifting through those beliefs and the conditioning and the trauma that's been stored in the body to finally come back to, hey, who are you truly beneath all that? So it's a beautiful journey home to themselves.
Yeah, it sounds, it's very similar. So I do some work with two brothers, Guy and Alan Ferdman. I don't know if you've heard of them. They're based out in the States. And their programs, they have a, you know, a mindset, personal growth, entry sort of level. But where their focus is on the energy healing, the deep energy healing. And it sounds, there's definitely similarities there in terms of the safety in the system, the trauma, you know, the energy that's stuck in the system, which has been there decades, if not past, you know, many lifetimes. And so what they do is it's less about reprogramming. It's more about sort of, they call it the growing up work, which is sort of setting the foundations, learning new distinctions, improving relationships, the relationship with yourself, understanding your patterns and all of that. And then when you go to the energy work, it's having the awareness in the body, like you said, which allows the body to naturally metabolize that stuck energy. And you can't heal alone. You can only heal, truly heal with other people. And our systems can actually co-regulate to support that safety and to support that healing. So it sounds similar. It just sounds like you've got some more, is it the NLP tools, which is the reprogramming? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Cool. So in terms of, is there anything else that I've not asked you about that you'd like to share in terms of what you're about and what you're up to and perhaps what's coming in the next 12 months for you?
Yeah. So just quickly tapping on NLP first. I think NLP is an important tool as well to use, because what we actually don't understand, or innocent, as I like to say, is that we are constantly programming ourselves on a daily basis with the words that we use, which is actually quite powerful if it's used in the right way. So this is the power of NLP, where we can really look at your vocabulary and how you speak to yourself. And I really, that's one of the taskings that I do with my clients, like, hey, what is your self-talk? How do you actually talk to yourself? Like, what's the dialogue that you have, you know, in your mind? And another reason why I work more with females is because I'm really into the feminine and masculine energies and how that works in our daily lives. And what we see, and you touched on it earlier in this conversation, is that, you know, a lot of women, especially if they've been through a bit of a trickier childhood, I would say they've had to be in that survival mentality. And what we also see is that these women are often very successful because they're so independent, they have so much drive, and, you know, they go for what they want, and they are oftentimes so far up in that, that it's actually so, that they are so in their masculine energy that it's really difficult to have a soft relationship with themselves, right? It's very difficult for them to not do anything for a day. Like, in their minds, they always need to do more. It always needs to be better. So I truly believe that where we are at now, and then also there's a prophecy that speaks into this, when I can go into in a little bit, but, you know, it's really important for us to come back to the feminine energy, because it will restore the natural balance that we've lost in our society, where, you know, the male can be the safety and the male can be the provider. And I'm not just talking about money or anything. Like, I think it's very much very okay that we as women still work and we do our own thing and all that, but more so in a stable environment. And, you know, coming home from work as a female, sometimes it's okay to sit down and be like, hey babe, can you just put an arm around me? I'm feeling, you know, all my hormones are playing up, I'm going on my period or whatever, you know, and just allowing for the male to be there. And what I see a lot in my work with the clients that I work with is that they find it so difficult to come back to that softness. Like, even receiving a compliment is difficult, you know, and when they have this negative self-talk and they have a difficult relationship with themselves, like, it's obviously very difficult to have meaningful connections with other people, potential partners, friendships. And because if you constantly have your walls build up, because that's been your coping mechanism for such a long time, it can be really daunting and scary to step into your vulnerability and to allow yourself to open up. And I think that's the majority, that's the biggest piece that I do in my work, because I really believe that when we start working on these energetics, we can really restore the natural balance, where the males all of a sudden feel like, oh, I have a role to play now. Like, it's no longer like, we don't need a man. I can do everything by myself. I can pay my own bills. I can have my own kids. Like, we don't need you anymore. And so, of course, the males have become a little bit lost. And obviously, this is really talking about a classical hetero relationship. But I think that is really important. And then we then look at the Hopi prophecy, which I love this prophecy. They've been speaking into this. So they've been saying that from the 1990s onwards, after the condor has nearly gone extinct, the condor will rise again. And the eagle has been for 500 years very present. So the eagle is the northern hemisphere, the masculine energy, the industrial revolution, the really pragmatic thinking. Everything needs to be very analytical and very technical. It's very problem solving. So it's a lot about this masculine energy. We've seen that. But then in this prophecy, they talk about from the 1990s onwards, the eagle will rise again too. And the eagle is the southern hemisphere. The condor. The condor is the southern hemisphere, the feminine energy, back to the heart, back to the indigenous wisdom. And we've really seen an influx of that from the 1990s onwards, right? Yoga, meditation, everything from the Eastern culture, but also ayahuasca is a lot more upcoming, and plant medicine and things like this. And the prophecy goes that they will rise together and fly together again. So that also means for women that are currently sitting in their masculine energy, they're actually moving against the grain. So they're creating more and more blocks for themselves to keep moving forward. Because when you move into your feminine energy, you are able to be like the water. So you are more in trust, you're more in flow, you're more in surrender, which is also where you can tune into this magnetic energy, where you understand, hey, I don't have to do so much. I can actually just attract these things to come to me. So that's another massive thing that I work with my clients, because it's really working with the energetics of what's happening in the world as well.
Yeah, I love that. That makes perfect sense. I mean, I'm, you know, the age of Aquarius and all, you know, there's lots of things, isn't there, where things have changed. And 2012 was a very significant year. We all thought the world was going to end, and obviously it wasn't. It was the end of a certain time into a new time. And obviously we've seen everything play out over the last 3 years, which continues to play out. And it's just, I mean, some of the stuff that we're seeing right now is just unbelievable. But yeah, I always love the prophecy stuff. I hadn't heard that one, so thank you for sharing that. And that seems so beautiful. Do you know what date they are rising together? Because I would love to know.
No, so I think it's like they already are starting to do this now. So this is really is balancing out of the feminine and the masculine energy. That's why this work is so important, because we're contributing to this. And I think slowly, slowly, we're going back to sacred sisterhood. We're going back to, hey, let's connect to our wombs. Let's connect to our menstrual cycle. Let's connect to our, you know, power. And like, I've got a friend, she just finished her studies as a doula. And she's been telling me about like how amazing it is for us women when we give birth outside of the hospital system, because we can really reclaim our sovereignty and our power as females, that we have these beautiful bodies that can do this. And like, I listen to her in awe, because it's so beautiful. Like, if you've never educated yourself on this topic, and like, you know, there's so many places around the world where giving birth in a hospital or just doing a cesarean because it's easier and it's on the time clock is just, you know, it's really horrible, to be honest. And now that she's just finished her studies and we've been talking about this, it's another point for me where I'm like, we're going back there. Like, there's an influx of doulas nowadays where, you know, we're going back to women supporting each other in birth. Like, they used to sit in tents, you know, being on their menstrual cycle, and they were just creating things. And we're going back to this community feeling and this like sacred sisterhood, and for the men to step into this primal power again of like hunting and gathering and, you know, stepping up for the family. And I think this is really like, especially with what we see in the world, it's really important for the men to step into that masculine energy again, because I think with everything that we consume and everything that we see and eat as well, like there's so many hormones that are being added into the foods. Where I think a lot of men have been demasculinated. And I think also because this, you know, the feminism that we had for years, which I think is great, because there was definitely something that we needed to step up for our power, you know. But in the same time, I think we've maybe gone too far in that, because like I just said, I think a lot of males have just lost their place a little bit, you know. And I think by doing this energetic work on the feminine and masculine energy and balancing it out in the body, I think that's really where the true change lies, not just for yourself, but also to contribute to society and also to really set the right example. I often say to my clients, like, hey, all the stuff that you're working through now is not even just yours. It's generational trauma, but you're the breaker of the chains. You're no longer going to pass this on to the next generation, which I believe is where the grand awakening lies, where we really can clear ourselves from these lower, denser frequency energies and elevating consciousness so that we can all together rise out of this and, you know, have a better world for the future generation.
Yeah, completely 100% agree. There's a couple of things to speak to in that. I was literally having a conversation on Monday with my son's dad and gran, and we were talking about the whole how women went from being, you know, the caregivers and staying at home to wanting it all, and you know, and we've seen how that's affected the family. You know, there's a lot more split families now. There's, you know, kids running riot, drugs, guns, knives, you know, all of that sort of stuff. And the programming that sort of came in at that time to tell us all that we wanted it all, you know, it was in the Hollywood movies, it was on the news, it was in the media, whatever. And yes, I don't disagree that, you know, some women are just not meant to stay at home forever to rear children. But I've started to question myself, because I've always been ambitious. I've always been the responsible one. I've always been the person that people have offloaded to, like yourself. And I had this innate need to, you know, provide for my parents and provide for everybody. And I can really relate to the whole masculine energy part of it, which I've transformed over the last few years. And in terms of, I was saying in this conversation, if we had, like you said, women supporting each other in childbirth, supporting each other in menstruation, everything, if we still had that community, if we still had women helping women, families helping families in terms of childcare and care of parents and all that sort of stuff, would I have felt the need to go and work, you know, and work really hard and do all of that? Was it in me anyway, or was it programming and the fact that society isn't set up to allow me to do that anyway? I had to go work. I had no choice. So that's one thing. There was something else you said, and I was like, breaking the cycle. It's stopping with us. And I've had two coaches, one an energetic coach, one more of a mentor for me, in the last month say exactly the same. They know that my part of my journey this time around was the book stops here, you know, mm-hmm. and that's why it's been so difficult and challenging. And I've had these things show up even in the last 8 months to show me what still needs healing for me to actually step into that deep healing work and, you know, be able to, although my son is 24, he and claims not to be spiritual, but he is very curious in terms of all of this sort of stuff. And the energy work, he just won't go there right now, but he is curious with, you know, ayahuasca and all that sort of stuff. Whether he ever does it, who knows? But so, yeah, it's interesting. So, yeah, I resonated with all of that, really.
Yeah, and I think, you know, for the souls that have chosen to come into this life now, like you and I, for example, like if I look back at my lineage, so when I was like 30 plus or something, I think it was like 30, 31, I started to get some skin problems. And my mom has really bad psoriasis, and my grandma had it even worse. Like, she had to wear gloves. And so with all the tools and everything that I know now, I was like, okay, like, that's very interesting. I believe that, you know, disease manifests in the body and it comes from something emotional or something that's stored in my body or generational. So I started deep diving into what does that mean? And where is it coming from? And it was all related back to sexual trauma. So then I was like, oh my God, this makes so much sense. Why I chose to step into this life, why I chose my experiences, because I chose all that, I can now break this generational trauma. And I had to move through a lot of grief. I had to move through a lot of anger that was deeply stored. And being on Cyprus now, it's a beautiful island of love and fertility, which is all about the sacral chakra. So when I initially came here, I was like, wow, there's more work to do around this deep anger that I'm feeling. And ever since I started deep diving in this journey, my skin has been fine. Like, I don't have any skin problems. Like, and it's so rewarding because I feel like, okay, the journey is not always easy, but I can literally physically see within myself that I can break it and that I don't have to just, you know, oh, my mom has it, so I'm going to have it too. No. It's really something that is manifested in the body from something that comes from the mind and or generational trauma. And it's just so powerful that we have this knowledge now. And I really can see that, you know, us having all these conversations about all these things, we can really see a big change in consciousness in this where, you know, a lot of people are more interested in what is it and how does it work? And, oh, that's, you know, if I look at the people that are following me on like Instagram and stuff, I often get the question like, but how did you, you know, how did you get the life that you're living right now? Weren't you scared? Like, wasn't there things that were holding you back? Of course. And I had to move through all of that to break through all of those limitations or perceived limitations, I should say, and the programming and the downloads and the energetical imprints that I got from my parents to break all of that, to be my own being without all this generational trauma. And this is such beautiful and powerful work. And I would love for everyone to ask themselves like, hey, what am I actually passing on, you know, to the next generation? Like, how is my personal vibration or how I'm personally feeling, how is it affecting the people around me? Because it is like your energy truly does affect the people around you. And if you, you know, carry a low energy with you because you have a lot of stuff that is undealt with, then hey, like what's stopping you from deep diving into that? A big misconception that I always talk about as well is that, oh my God, healing has to be this like big, dreaded, like, whoa, horrible journey. It's going to take me years. And this is why a lot of people choose to not even go there because they'd rather just keep that little, you know, can of worms closed because it's too much. But I call BS on that because that's a program. It's not a hard, long, dreaded journey. Like I take my clients on an 8-week journey. And from the moment they step into the journey and they leave the journey, they are fully transformed because we clear out everything so quickly. And it can be that way. It's a program that it has to be very long. And of course, the peeling of the onion never stops. Like we're always going to be peeling back more layers. But, you know, the more often you have the courage to jump into the unknown and to find what's there, the more you can rely on your own strength, you can rely on your own courage, you can rely on your own wisdom. And, you know, once you take that jump once, it just gets easier.
Mm, yeah, completely. So you said Cyprus is known as the island of, did you say love and fertility?
Yeah. The goddess of Aphrodite.
Okay, cool. Because it's one island I've still not got to. Did you leave Australia because of the regime of the last 3 years?
Yes, definitely. It was one of the things that I was like, okay, I'm still on an island. And it's also because my family is obviously in the Netherlands and I wasn't able to leave. Like even if something were to happen, there was no flights. And it was definitely something that I was like, wow, like it was pretty intense, you know? And I have to say as well that I do think that the media can portray things. You know, I think Australia was maybe a little bit like the showgrounds, right? To show the rest of the world of what could be possible. And it was pretty bad. Like one of my friends had to go to one of those, what do you call it? Like a camp, basically, she had to go to when she came in. She flew in from South Africa. She had an exemption for everything, but they still put her in this detention center. And she was saying how horrific it was and like how... Yeah, it was a very traumatizing experience for her and it was very real, you know, like I know multiple people that have been there and it was just like when I was there, I was like, whoa, like, you know, you're still on an island, like you can't go anywhere, you know, when you're there. And it was that and there was a lot of other things like visa regulations, like and all these things. And I was also just ready to spread my wings again and travel. And, you know, I'm now in Cyprus, but I'm about to move to Portugal, actually, because I love just being in different new environments. And Portugal sounds really amazing because there's lots of beautiful communities out there where it's really about this beautiful sacred sisterhood and consciousness and off the grid living and things like this. And I think this is really, I truly believe that that's where we're going back to. We're going into a big split in society where a lot of people are choosing to live the way they've been living. And a lot of people are like, you know what? No, I don't want that anymore. And we're going back to this community. We're going back to, you know, back in the day, like my grandma and grandpa, like they had so many children. There's no way that they could do that by themselves. They had their sisters, you know, they had everyone jumping on board, doing it all together. And I truly believe that we're going back there.
Mm. Yeah, although the next concern now, I heard something from Russell Brand the other day. He was talking into the fact that there's going to be a population crisis in the next 20 or so years because we've had so little children. You know, we've been, the whole overpopulation has been banging the drum for a long time, and now it's the complete opposite. But there's another theory to that one as well, right? So, okay, cool. I was going to say something, it's gone straight out of my head. You were talking about Cyprus anyway. So in terms of what's next for you, Oh, yeah, I know what I was going to say. I'm actually going to Portugal on Friday, but I'm only going for a holiday.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I'm going to Faro.
That's where I want to move to, Faro or Lagos.
Oh, okay, cool. And I know somebody that moved out to Portugal, very successful online guy a few years ago. Well, probably about 2 years ago, I think it was. But also a friend of mine, part of the same sort of community, she is going to a big retreat in Portugal on the 11th of June. And it's to do with the Healy stuff. Do you know the Healy stuff?
Yeah.
So I'm not sure how long she's out there for, but obviously Portugal seems to have this big pull for people
And like also from my knowledge now is that all plant medicine is legal there,
right? Okay,
which is such a big difference, right? For example, in Australia, Cambo was made illegal like 2 years ago, I think. No, a year and a half ago, it was fully made illegal, like not like on the same class schedule 10 by the TGA, and it was basically the same as heroin. So if I were to surf Cambo at the time, I would have literally been thrown into jail because I'm drug dealing a same substance as heroin. So,
yeah,
which is another reason for me. This medicine is so close to my heart, you know. So to be somewhere where it's like fully illegal and having that sort of hang over you is not a nice feeling at all. So it's another reason for me to go to Portugal, because everything there is, you know, they have this regime there where they implemented this thing where there was lots of drug addicts. And so what they did is they would provide the drugs, but then they would get talking to the people like, hey, why are you using this? And like, it's such a different approach to things, right? So for me, that's another big massive pull to Portugal. And one of the largest off-the-grid communities is there as well. It's called Tamera. And I looked into it the other day and I was like, wow, like that seems like a dream. They have their own school system. They have their own scientific research center. They have their own energy. They, you know, produce veggies by themselves. Like, and it's just a big, large community where everyone still lives on their own, but they just do things together. Like there's on board, there's midwives there. Like everything is so how I picture it to be for myself later in my life, where I just want to be in nature, you know. It's such an important thing. And I think that's another thing, like in Europe, like one of the biggest things for me and my clients is grounding. And I'm so passionate about this, because if you look at Europe, like we all wear shoes all the time, and we go from shoes into our house. We live in these buildings that are so far away from the ground in like, I don't know how many stories up, and we never actually ground. And it's so important because it's a negative positive pull from the earth, and that really provides clarity and coming back to yourself. So if you never ground, of course you're going to feel lost, and of course you're going to be out of your body. But in Europe, like people just never ever wear no shoes because it's also too cold, but the streets are dirty. Like only in summer, for example, if I look at my mom, she has a summer house, and when she's in the summer house and she's walking barefoot on the grass, she's so much happier than she is when she just lives at home and never takes her shoes off.
Yeah, I can relate to that. Yeah, I try and do it, but I don't do it as often as I should. And I noticed my son started to do it the other day as well, because he's on his own journey. So, and I keep telling him, you know, the laptop on his lap is the worst place to be, right?
Anyway.
We digress. So Portugal, interesting. How long will you be there? Is it easy to get like a visa, or is it just like a 6 month thing or whatever?
Yeah. So there's different things that you can do. Obviously, when I left Australia, I had my business over there. So I've been sort of on a search and a hunt, like where can I register my business? Because the taxes in the Netherlands are crazy and I definitely don't even want to be there anyway. So Portugal has a regime, it's called the NHR regime, where you pay no tax on foreign income, for example. And when you have an EU passport, it's pretty easy to go there, establish yourself, set your company up and do all these things. So it's a beautiful process that I'm currently doing at the moment to like initially, Cyprus is also a very good country when it comes to all these things, which is initially why I moved to Cyprus. But then, you know, it's the island of love and the island of fertility. So 2 weeks after I came here, I met my current partner and we are very much in love. And he's also very passionate about going off the grid and doing all these things. And adventure is such a massive part of one of his values. So we were like, okay, we woke up one morning. We were like, okay, if we want to start a family and if we want to do all these things, then let's just move to Portugal because it sounds amazing. There's a massive spiritual community there, which for me is really important. And so, yeah, so that's why we decided to move and start our businesses there.
Amazing. Oh, you're making me jealous. So, so obviously you're going to be doing more of the same great stuff, just in a different country. Is there any, is there anything else on the horizon for you?
No, like I started organizing my first retreat here, which is really, really exciting. And I think for me, it's really about this journey, I think, you know, integrating and incorporating all of these things because and being a yoga instructor and doing Kembo and doing lots of work around mindset. I really feel like this sacred sisterhood thing is really something that I'm really, really passionate about. And like, I think ultimately this is really what I want to start moving towards, like connecting people back to nature because nature is feminine energy, Mother Earth. Like she is the epiphany of what feminine energy is, right? She nurtures, she provides us, like it's an unconditional giving always, you know, without needing anything in return, which is so beautiful. And we get to receive that. So bringing women back to their beautiful feminine energy, stepping into their power is something that I will always be passionate about. And I think, you know, I'm now developing a new program, which is called Remembrance. And it's really about incorporating all these things in one thing. So connecting to nature, doing hapé ceremonies, kembo ceremonies, breath work journeys to really come into the body and to open someone up maybe more so to their spiritual potential and what their soul purpose is.
Cool.
Yeah.
Random question. You don't know somebody called Prue Sturgeon, do you?
No.
All of a sudden, I just thought, I wonder. Anyway, doesn't matter. She's very similar to you, and
cool.
And was based in Australia, part of another organization I'm part of. Mm. Okay, so if people want to know how to get in touch with you or find out more about you, where's the best place for them to go?
Yeah, so Instagram is a good place to go. Chava Wild Roots, CHAVA_wild_roots. That's where I have all my offerings and I post on there daily, lots of tips and tricks. And I do master classes quite regularly, free master classes, and also Facebook. But I'm sure you put everything in the show notes.
Yeah, I will, yeah.
Yeah. Perfect.
Okay. Perfect. Thank you so much. And thanks again for being available at short notice. It's been an absolute pleasure to get to know you. And I love everything you're doing. Yeah, I'm so happy for you, you know, in terms of what you're achieving and what you're going to go and achieve in Portugal. Amazing. So
thanks, Mel. And thank you so much for having me on the show. And I think people like you and I are, you know, there's so many more people that could be doing this work. And we need so many more people that, you know, step into this role because everyone has a story to tell. So I'm always so happy to chat with someone that is in the same line of work and go creating the new earth, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, thanks again. And good luck with the move to Portugal.
Thank you.
If you enjoyed that conversation or were inspired in any way, please leave me a review on iTunes. It's the best way for other people to find my podcast and be inspired themselves. If you'd like to know more about me and my coaching, you can find me at melclarkcoaching.com, Clark with an E on the end, or email me at mel@melclarkcoaching.com.